This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Summer hits.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Tuning Podcast. This Ugly Thing is here finally.
I'm back, everybody.
You're welcome. I apologize for this.
I apologize.
This city is here.
Last week.
I'm sorry.
Suck ass.
That's me, Pete Capella.
Suck ass without me.
Pete? Oh, well, yeah. Well, no, it was any better without you.
No, but
Pete Capella was awesome, man. Thank you, Pete Capella.
Awesome,
man. Great interview.
It was a great interview.
It was fun to watch.
I'm sorry about the whole
thing. Oh, my gosh. Oh, by the way, yeah.
Just let it go, man.
Quez is here also,
but
we also have Hugo in the podcast. Gamino, right? Gamino, buddy. Yeah, I'm always saying Gamino. Right. And of course, Quez right there. But welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to the RGB,
back,
dude.
Welcome back, brother.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Shout out to you guys.
Hey, there you
Thank
go.
You so
there
much,
you
man.
Go,
Thank
man.
You. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out, man. Coming out to play with us a little while. But yeah, man. We've been keeping an eye on you.
Not in a creepy way, but yeah. We've been in a creepy way.
In a very creepy way. You want to raise your microphone, dude? Because we can't hear you for Jack. Pick it up. Pick it up, dude. There you go. No. Pick it up. There you go. No. What? That. Come on, buddy.
Stimulate it. Talk to it a little bit.
Tickle it, dude. That's perfect. All right.
Oh,
my gosh, dude. Anyways, man. Today's podcast, we have Hugo on the podcast with him. We want to know where your journey's at. Before foremost, let's take a little walk back.
Yeah.
Tell us when you're from, where you grew up, and all that good stuff. And then we're going to talk about what you're doing now. So go ahead, man. The mic's yours, homie. Go for it.
Yeah. So born in the Midwest, and my brothers and I, my mom, we moved down to South Texas in the mid-80s.
Okay.
Raised in Donna, ghost town.
Ghost town?
Yeah. I went to grade school up at high school, and then I did a semester at TSTC in the culinary program.
All right.
And then I moved to Chicago. I went to the culinary program out there, playing junior college baseball. And then I came back. I worked at two restaurants here, and then I really wanted to kind of make my bones in the industry and fine dining. So I moved to DC. I worked in restaurants out there. I ran a couple of kitchens, staged at Michelin star restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So stage basically means like you work a certain period of time at a restaurant for free, essentially.
Okay.
To gain experience, build your resume. And a lot of times you want to do that at like super fine dining restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the industry for 11 years back of the house as a chef.
There you go.
And then I transitioned into the fashion industry. It took a different turn. I got burned out in the kitchen, and I worked for Brooks Brothers, Tom Ford, Michael Kors, and product development,
nice.
Product design. And then that kind of took me to Chicago for fashion design school, and that's where I started working for the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. I was there for 4 years with them.
Nice.
Assistant Director of Operations for the premium department, and I basically did menu development, restaurant design, uniform design, beverage design, and yeah, it was a great experience. And then I started my own company, and then I started kind of organically started doing marketing and social media stuff.
Yeah, I know you that you're TikTok blew up, bro. I mean, it's been blowing up left and right.
You're popular with the kids, as they say.
You're that popular boy.
It blew, yeah, since like the last time we talked, yeah, it really, and I obviously, like, I started, there was like a lot of cooking content.
Yeah.
And the goal was always just to kind of cook, but I always wanted to write, right? Like, I always wanted to be a writer.
Right.
So I used the food content as like the vessel to tell these stories.
Right.
And a couple of stories blew up, and I kind of, some publications picked it up. And then that's kind of how it started circulating throughout social. I wrote a story about my mom, and that one kind of went up to, I think it was like close to 2.2 million views.
Every time I see a mojajita, I hear his voice. And I told my friend, hey, do you really have to you have to like soothe it out, or how do you?
So what do you mean,
like,
to
season it? Here we go. Yeah. All right, ladies, whip out your ingredient books. Watch out what's going on here.
I hear from certain people, like, when you already get one, you have to, like...
Oh, yeah, so you have to season it. So basically, seasoning means, like, you have to, especially with a mojajete, like, they have a lot of grooves and inner, like, with the stone.
Yeah.
So you have to get rice, like, mill it, couple of different times, clean it out, mill it a couple of different times. It's very similar to like a cast iron skillet, right? Like,
yeah,
where you put oil, burn it deep, and basically it's like ready to go. So yeah, it's like, it's about seasoning, but yeah.
I was doing the trailer last night, and I was looking at the way you were doing the bread and you're doing the onions, that whole dish that you made. And I was freaking like, God damn, man. I go, I gotta taste some of this stuff, dude, that he makes.
It's Michelin five-star food, dude. You can't afford it.
I know I can't afford it, but
just go to Whataburger, dude.
I need to go to Whataburger. Can you do this?
Well, it's funny, man, because I really love, like, on this trip that I came down, I was really trying to, like, scout areas to do, like, a pop-up dinner series here.
Right.
Like, from here, I love it here. I would love to, like, partner up with, like, a restaurant somewhere and do, like, a 30 to 60 person like dinner. Mm-hmm. And really, because I do have a following down here, obviously being from here, I, you know, family and friends following and stuff like that. But
right.
For me, I've cooked everywhere outside of that, right? Like in Chicago, New York, DC, and I've never been able to do it here. And I would love to do it.
I would
love to be able to like cook, for, like have a dinner specially made for this region,
right,
my friends and family, and have like people come that I like grew up with, my family.
Right.
Because nobody ever got to experience that, right? Like, I think, I don't even think that my mom ever had a chance to go to any of the restaurants I worked in, like
right.
DC.
Wow. Right.
So it's like, for me, it would be great to do that, to be able to have that experience, especially down here.
Consider the fact down here, the backbone of Mexican food. I mean, being so close to the border as a border town, I would think it'd be a kind of hard for me to, like, if you're a cook and you're bringing down this new culture of Mexican food, you have a lot of critics out there, you know, and you know, you have to accept that.
But at
the same time, you're bringing a different mix to the flavors, you know, because you've been pretty much all over the U.S. and you've dabbed in a lot of things.
Yeah, man. You know what? I see a lot of like talent coming back to the Valley that went and explored. You know, so for instance, I'll give you an example. I went to Teddy's Barbecue today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, yeah. Phenomenal.
Shout out to Teddy's.
Phenomenal barbecue. Like, and you know, not just like, and I think people need to understand, right? Like, barbecue is like hard. It's so hard to master that.
Yeah.
So to see like them, I think they're originally from Westaco. He went to College Station, worked out there, and then came back, right? There's a place out in Mission called Analiz Taqueria.
Okay.
They're James Beard Award nominee. Right. So like buzz is starting to happen down here, right? And I think what's what I love about it is that these restaurants are staying really true to the core of like the Rio Grande Valley, of like right. what they are, but they're using techniques that they've learned at other places and like bringing it here, right? So right. I think that if I was to cook, it obviously would be something that would be, you know, techniques that I've learned in my career, but very regional to the food here, right? Like I think Absolutely. That, you know, doing something with a lot of citrus because we're known for citrus, doing something with a lot of onion because we're known for onion, mm-hmm. right? Obviously like my yeast and shit like that, but like, oh, shit, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
That's good. You fucked up.
No, I would love that opportunity to do that. But I think the thing about it is I was talking to my friend Patrick from that lives here in Wessico, and mm-hmm. he's really embedded in the community here and the commerce here. And he's always trying to get me to move back. And I'm always like in that realm of like, I would move back if the opportunity was right, but I would love to test the market first of like restaurant spaces.
Yeah.
Right. So it's that kind of thing, you know.
And that's kind of like what I was thinking too. Like if you did open up a pop-up dinner, yeah. like you wanted to have, like, what would that look like? Because yeah, we were talking before the show about how, you know, the like Mexican food is regional,
yeah.
And how like if you make something a specific way, people are used to it tasting a different way.
Yeah.
You know, they'll give you that feedback that they don't like it or it's not how they prefer it. And when they say stuff like that, it's like they like, oh, that's not how, you know, I'm used to it. I wondered to myself, does that mean you don't like it, or do you like it and you're just not used to it? Or like what's
I think, you know, like I said earlier, like food is very, food can be controversial, and food yeah. is very like personal to the person, especially when you're talking about regional cultural dishes like rice, beans,
yeah. things
like
that. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
If I was to answer your question, if I was to do a pop-up dinner, I think that it would be a culmination of everything that I've done in my career, right? Obviously raised in like Latino Mexican cooking, mm-hmm. but I'm classically French trained, and I worked, the majority of my career was in Italian fine dining. Mm-hmm. So there would be a lot of mixture of that, right? Like there's like a dish that I developed. It's angolotti pasta. So it's basically like a rectangular like ravioli.
Okay.
But like an idea that I've had is to take, cook down chivo, birria, render the fat, fill the pasta, fresh made pasta mm-hmm. with that, and then doing a like a consumer base with like a cilantro oil. So it's very much like speaking to like my cuisine of like I was cooking an Italian food, but yeah. this is like a very Mexican staple. Mm-hmm. So my goal always when I'm like cooking is always trying to mimic flavor, texture of the dish, but reconstruct it in like my
That sounds amazing, first of all.
Yeah, thank
that,
you. No, yeah, yeah.
So
no,
that, like, you've like tasted Mexican food outside of the state?
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to travel into Mexico to visit, you know, aunts and uncles that still lived over there.
I don't know why, but every time I step out of the state, I don't eat Mexican food. I don't know why.
It's real.
I'm scared.
No. I feel you.
No, here in Texas, like, okay. Like, down here, like, we make our tortillas, tacos, all that stuff here, like, when I go out of state, I don't know why, you just don't
crave it.
Yeah. I don't try it. I don't want to try it. I don't want, because I'm so used to it. I just don't want to taste something bad with it.
That's no, I feel you, because like when I was younger and you know, not as evolved as I am right now, like it was real, dude.
Yeah.
It was real. Like those moments of like when, you know, my tia chicken to make,
hell yeah.
Like that shit's real.
Yeah.
And it tastes real too.
Yeah, when people ask me all the time, like, how did you get into cooking? And I was like, yeah, you know, a lot of people cooked in my family, but my grandfather, like, I remember going to farms here and getting, like, going with them and my uncles,
mm-hmm.
picking up a chivo, him hanging it on the swing set, butchering it there, killing the chickens. Like, so it was like a
memories.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it yeah. was like that was something that I grew up with, right? And mm-hmm. Me, myself, like, I think that regionally, like, Mexican food, I'm fortunate enough that, like, my parents are from different states in Mexico. Like, my dad's from Jalisco, my mom's from Tamaulipas.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I grew up tasting different versions of everything.
Yeah. Right? Like, if I had to pick a region I've heard most about the cooking, it's like places like Jalisco.
Yeah.
That, you know, the it's just like, I keep hearing words like explosion of flavor and things like that from people.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's weird, man. Because I can remember, here's a funny story. I remember my brother, we went to Mexico, and my aunt, we went to Jalisco, and she offered us a bowl of some kind of chicken soup or something. And then my brother, and like in the brokenness of like the Spanish, he goes, my aunt's like, ¿Qué parte del pollo quieres? And Eric goes, la pata.
La pata.
He meant like the leg, right?
Oh my gosh, I would have said that.
So my aunt comes out with the bowl, dude, and it's a fucking claw. It's hanging out. She's like, yo, you asked for this, right? Like, you asked for this.
I would have said that. You know, I would have said
that. Quez would have said that. I got some stories on that one later on, bro.
So it's like, you know, like we all grew up, like, I remember, like, and then we ate enchiladas, and it was like way different from the enchiladas that I grew up with here eating at down the street at Sunrise, like, you know what I mean? So but that's everything, man. Probably. Like French cuisine, northern, southern French cuisine, Italian cuisine. Like I like, my mentor chef was a northern Italian chef, so it was very fish, fresh, vegetable ingredients. We didn't go very heavy on like pastas. So it was very like Mediterranean based, like a lot of olives, fresh tomatoes. So I cook like that. Like, that's my very, like, my style of cooking.
Yeah. Jose Vega saying there's a lot of Jalisco tacos all over Chicago.
What's going on, Lisa?
Yeah. It's, you know, like, I have a lot of spots in Chicago that I love that have a really great cuisine there. You know, I'm partial to it because my family's from there. I lived there for a while. You know, I lived there the last like 8 years before I moved to Phoenix. So, you know, I have a lot of like ties to that and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I mean, I think that food, to kind of go back to the subject matter of what you said, like if I was to cook for people down here and if I made something, I definitely get people that'd be like, the fuck is he doing, dude? Like, this isn't like, you know, like, this isn't like what we're used to. In anything, right? Like, you know, in music or in even podcasting, like,
right.
You have to go into a situation knowing that there's going to be a population of people that are going to shit on you, right?
You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
You're putting your work out there, right?
Yeah, like I said before, your critics, man. There's always that one person that goes, I'm going to give this guy shit, and that's gonna get me popular because I'm giving him shit. And if he answers back, it's even better. It's gonna make me look. People are gonna be looking me up.
It's called a troll.
Pretty much a troll.
Yeah, man.
I've seen that happen so many times, and a lot of great people that are doing great content, and they do that shit, and it's bullshit. If I have to tell you the truth.
Man, it's an interesting thing to be able to, like. My biggest thing that I'm trying to do with my work is, I'm trying to go against the grain of like the traditionalist of like what we've been grown up to do, right? Like, we don't show emotion. I try to show as much emotion as I can, right? I try to be as vulnerable as I can. And I wasn't always like that. And it's still hard for me to do shit like that, right? Like in my writing, I write a lot about personal shit like that I grew up with.
Sammy says I can eat 40 hot dogs at a time. I totally understand.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like weird, man. You gotta be okay with like when people don't. Not everybody's gonna like your sauce, man.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, so it's
exactly.
You kind of have to just like roll with it. You kind of move along. So
the only reason I really ask is because, like, I think to myself, like, if he's gonna be cooking for local taste, you know, but you want to, you know, stretch a little bit creatively, it can be kind of difficult to balance that. And I just wonder, you know, if that plays in your mind
all. I think that I would come into it and I'd be very transparent of what the menu would be to people. Like, I think that I would be very open about that it's not going to be Mexican food. I mean, there's going to be hints, and it's going to be laced with storyline of Mexican like ingredients and flavors, but in my version, right? And it's gonna be like a one-time thing, one-time menu, and it's more so like an opportunity for me to be able to cook for my family and friends, right? For people for people to buy tickets to a dinner for the people that I could never cook for in my career, right? Like when I was away. So yeah, it would be fun to do it for sure.
I mean, it sounds fun, and you know that chivo recipe that you mentioned, that sounds delicious. I'll buy a flaco of that any day. But it's just one of the things that pops into my mind because, you know, you can make, you know, the most incredible fish soup that exists. And, you know, there will be some people who will eat fish all day, you know, but there, you know, there's going to be that, like you said, that one person like, this is disgusting. This not, I've never
seen this. Pretty much.
It comes with the territory, right? Like, we live in a world where everybody has an opportunity to be a critic, where before, like, in food, you had to work for publication and you had to be able to be like a writer or a TV critic. Now, dude, Yelp is readily available, right? Like you go in there and you give a full Yelp review of whatever's on your mind. And I'm on the fence on Yelpers for sure. So
he's a Yelper over here. No, I actually avoid
bullshit.
He's a Yelper. Like, would you shut the fuck up?
I'm
trying to have an intelligent conversation.
Oh my God, really?
With another intelligent conversation. For the first time. Because I am surrounded by idiots.
Big shout out to Chuba defending himself for the first time ever on the podcast. Shut the fuck up. So as far, I mean, let me go back to that Chivo thing, man.
Me love McDonald's.
It's on. It's working. All right. Yeah. Right. By the way, guys, apologize. I forgot to switch off the audio on the StreamYard here to the mixer. So that's why you're hearing Hugo and Quay so far away, is because it was being picked up by a laptop. But we're up and running 100%. So here we go. Yes, it's running, dude.
All right. So should we start the interview all over again?
Let's start over again. So tell us a little about yourself the last time.
Who are you?
Why are you here? So going back to the whole Chivo thing, for the first time, I mean, do you do the whole butchering beforehand? Have you done it before?
I've definitely done butchering before. Like, it's something you kind of, like...
You heard me? I said that loud?
You know, I mean, dude, I mean, I grew... Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't do it, obviously, until I got in the industry.
Right.
And, but, like, by the time it sometimes gets to the restaurant, you're looking, like, at a half rack. You're looking like a half chivo. Like, not fully butchering sometimes. A lot of times when you're interviewing for a restaurant job, they make you, like, break down a fish. They make you break down, like, rabbit. They make you break down, like a hog leg and see how good your butchering knife skills are, things like that.
Right.
But a full, like, from start to finish, like, I haven't done that.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I was like, goddamn, dude.
No, dude, we went once. I think, dude, I was still a teenager. We were in high school, and my uncle called us out, and my cousin, my brothers and I, he's like, hey, I need your help on the ranch. Like, all right, fuck it, let's go.
Let's go.
And he's pulling a cow, right? And I'm like, oh, what are we gonna do? And I was like, my brother's like, dude, I think we're gonna like butcher this cow. And I was like, no fucking way, dude. No way I'm gonna see this slide, dude. So I turn around, man. I'm like, I can't see this. Well, sure enough, all I hear is like, I turn around, dude. My uncle's on it. He's like, starts like ripping it open, and he's like, here, like hold this, and we start butchering, dude. We like start to finish. We start butchering that. My uncle starts butchering him, and his friends start like breaking it down. And at the end of it, man, like he was like, "Here, lleva esto tu mamá," and it's like fresh meat, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's my mom's like, "Oh, it's like, oh, awesome." My brother was like, dude, I couldn't eat that. Dude. I was like, I couldn't eat that. And I think from there, that's where I like gained appreciation of like. We were still in high school.
I would have been traumatized. Yeah,
but my brother Eric was, dude. Like he was traumatized for a little bit.
I think the first time I saw it was at my uncle's ranch, my mom's side.
Mexico?
Her uncle. No. Actually, yes. It was in Mexico. Shout out to Los Primos en Progreso. Shout out to them out there.
The real ones.
We went out there a weekend. It was for a wedding.
Yeah.
And I remember going out there because he goes, Mark, I'm like, what?
This is when I was like really coconut, didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And glad I spit. He goes, from the legs. I'm like, oh, from the legs. All right, I got from the legs. So my other people get from the legs. We pick them up upside down. I'm like, okay. And poor goat's like, you know, freaking out. You know, he's upside down hanging. I'm like, what's going on here and what's about to happen?
Oh my God, what are you doing?
All of a sudden, he just like throat and then leg to the neck, leg to neck. I'm like, oh my God.
It was a ritual.
are we doing a ritual right now? Was he going to come get a blood go over my head? Simba. No, it wasn't like that, dude. It was, man, he put the bowl underneath for all the blood to run down that bowl. I'm like, okay, he probably doesn't want to get the dirt dirty, whatever. Okay,
oh, you got
to
cool. save it.
No, he gets the blood. He saves it. He gives it to my mom's aunt, my great aunt, gives it to them, and they go and they start cooking and boiling it. I'm like, what are they doing, mom? Go, this is Carlito. This is sangre Carlito. Carlito. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, what?
You never had it?
No, dude. What?
You ate it.
Wait, buddy. Have you guys ever had blood sausage?
No.
Oh, bro, man. It is amazing. So you take the blood.
The goat's blood.
Or pig's blood, you know, blood of your choice.
Yes.
What?
And, dude, mom fed us all this stuff growing up. You never know what the hell you were eating, bro.
Yeah, no, man. I'm serious. I'm not playing around, for real.
You either cook it down and make it like a soup out of it, or sometimes you like let it coagulate, put seasonings in it, you mix it with a binder like rice.
Yeah.
And then you stuff it in its own intestines. Mm-hmm. You like. Yeah. Let it hang, sausage.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You wrap it in like in links,
dude,
right?
It's so damn good, man.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's so good.
I mean, telling me. All this time you've been eating gizzards has been goat balls. I mean, you don't know that, Brad. Just telling you.
What are gizzards? Gizzards are good, but where are they?
They're goat balls, buddy. Goat balls. You love them, dude. You love them every time.
No, seriously, right? You're telling me like. The blood that's boiling in the fucking bowl. That fucking blood.
Yes.
Sauce.
Yes.
Dude, you can like head to toe. You can eat an animal. Like obviously, dude. Like
we're Mexican, dude. Why do you think goats kick the chicken when we're walking in place, dude? Come on. Think about it.
Yeah, dude. I didn't know that.
Look at Paul. We'll go. Now I'm freaking at Quez right now. Like I'm really disappointed.
My whole life is.
It's been a lie.
It's been a fucking lie, dude.
What do you mean it's been a lie, dude? You weren't paying attention.
Why do you think you were very plump when you were little?
Yeah,
so you're a plump boy, so you ate everything. These two guys were plump boys when they were young, bro. Man.
Dude, so was I.
Well, one's still plump, but the other one... Figure it out.
This
method.
This guy.
I loved, dude. To this day, I love food, man. Like, but we took our kids to eat at this event, and one of our friends was laughing because they were watching my kids and eating. And she's like, "Dude, your kids are like really into." I was like, "Oh, we love food, dude. Like, we are a family that loves to eat." Like,
right.
Did you open them up to like regional cuisine and stuff like that when they were younger?
You know, like they eat a lot different than I ate, right? Like they're eating a lot. They're exposed to a lot more. Yeah. And you know, I love cooking for my kids, right? Like I love cooking for my wife and my kids, and it's like something that I really enjoy doing.
You use them as guinea pigs, don't you?
But it's so funny, dude. Like sometimes I'll work my ass off on a dish, and at the end of the day, you got to remember you're feeding a 4-year-old, right?
Right.
Like, and your 4-year-old will look at your food and be like,
"Dad, this shit sucks."
No, I don't want this. No. And then like my youngest, he'll push it away, and then like I look at my wife, and my wife's like, "Dude, he's 2, maybe 4, right? Like, just
he's
chill."
Not eating, he's not eating
cat. You're not leaving this table until you that lady's plate.
So if you're asking me about critics, man, I care more about, like, if my kids, more if my kids like my food or not.
There you go, dude.
But, yeah.
He goes, "Mom, who cooked this, Dad? Come over. Dad, what the hell is this?"
Yeah, he's gotten into, like, he's definitely, like, our rule is, like, you got to try it. Right, you got to try it once.
That's awesome.
And if you don't like it, you don't like it, right? But I the other day, like I was like looking at my wife, and we had breakfast, and I made fresh brioche bread.
Right. You're always constantly making bread on your food.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of started like I got back into cooking by getting back into bread.
Yeah.
So I made like brioche French toast and like homemade syrup and all this shit. And I'm like watching my kids. I'm like, dude, I grew up on migas. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just tell my wife, bro, and I'm like,
okay. I still eat migas today.
Dude, I eat migas like twice a week.
Hey, no. Hell yeah, man.
Dude, fuck yeah.
I'm the best Mexican invention ever.
It's the best, dude. It's the best.
It don't matter.
No. So I don't even eat it at midnight. I'm going to the kitchen and make some. Fuck, I'm doing shit.
I'm so passionate about migas, man, that if whatever menu that I would put on, like if I was to do like a pop-up, mm-hmm. migas would be on the menu.
Hell yeah.
Like a version, amen. Like a version of migas would be,
amen,
on the menu.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, it would be hell on the yeah. menu. Like it's,
migas with cebolla, tomate with a little bit chilito on top, mixed ranchero style. Come on,
but that's a beauty of like migas. Like it's like as basic, it's eggs and tortillas, right?
Right.
And then you build it from there, and it can be whatever you want it to be, right? Like it's so good. Yeah. That's why I always tell people it's like the most versatile food anywhere. Like you can do anything with it.
You can't go wrong.
I think at one time the wife made me migas one night. He goes, "You want migas? Yeah, I'm gonna make it a little bit different and see if you like it." She cooked it and everything. She threw mozzarella on top, and then she started. What'd you do? Is it queso blanco? I go, no, just taste it. And holy shit.
Yeah, this is like a really cool version of doing it, right? Like you do the same thing and you open up pockets in the migas.
Right, right.
And you throw cheese on it, whatever cheese, melted cheese you want to do it.
Right.
And you let it sit, you don't mix it, you let it sit and you let it like burn, like you let the cheese burn. So you get like when you eat it, you get like crispy pieces of like a grilled cheese kind of like thing.
Right,
you
know, right.
Mixed in with melted. See, this is what happens, dude. I get fucking passionate about migas, and I'm like, I'm on a roll now. Like,
hey, dude, you're making more and more fans.
People are answering real quick. My granny used to make us that. It says here, I haven't had migas in such a long time.
I made a video about it because it was like, dude, I was so passionate about like migas. Like, I think that it's like one of the greatest things ever.
Awesome.
Some of like the best meals that have come about in like any cuisine are poor man meals.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, hell like yeah. Southern cuisine, like Mexican cuisine, there's a lot of things that like nopalitos are like one of my favorite.
Okay, you lost me. You lost you me, like bro. No, I can't stand it, bro.
No, dude.
You lost me. Yeah.
Throw some beans in there. I'll be all
right. I'll do nopales anyway, right? Like pickled or like guisados and a little bit of tomato sauce and a little bit of like cebolla. And
right,
like,
right.
You're
right.
Like,
No.
I need it.
Ain't gonna happen.
All right, dude. So if I do a pop-up and you come, I'm gonna specifically put like a nopal dish on the menu.
This dish right here is $15, but you eat that nopal, you can eat it for free. What? Yeah. No, what? No, here's a $15. Get it off my plate.
Yeah, it's I like mixing in things that are like people would traditionally just not consider avant-garde or like
right.
So I like cooking like that.
All right,
yeah, because I don't know anyone who doesn't like occasionally like with when they're making their dishes, like my mom would occasionally the nopales that she would make, she would throw in like some chile ancho you know, a little bit of garlic powder or something, you know, just to zhuzh it up a little bit. It still tastes as good. It's different, but it was still good. You know, just trying stuff.
That was back in the day, man. I remember those were the good old days where just mom makes something and if you didn't eat, there's nothing else you eat.
That's right.
She would go out in the back and take out the speedos from the cactus.
Yeah.
And then she would just throw them in the
stove. Yeah. The old school, man.
She still does it.
Yeah, she still does it to the day.
Yeah, that's nice. Having free nopales in your yard.
Well, it grows like weeds over there.
Must be nice.
It is nice. Too bad you don't live around where I live.
No,
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We got to pay some bills. So, thanks to all our sponsors that have always been out there sticking to make our plugs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will be back in, I think, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So, just hang in there and enjoy the commercial. We're back, guys. Big thank you to all our sponsors, man, for supporting us the last couple of months, man. I appreciate everything you do for us, man. So we are back with Mr. Hugo Gambino.
Why didn't you wear the name tag?
Why didn't you wear the name tag, bro?
Everywhere I've ever lived, man, everybody's always like Gambino. So the reason
why it stuck to my head that way is because Quest told me a story a long time ago that with Patterson, Coach Patterson.
May rest in peace.
May rest in peace. God rest his soul, man. But
all right, if everyone wants to take a break real quick, and we'll just come back later.
Right. oh yeah, it's already past that hour for them, but man, but we can do it out here.
Shot you! Well,
sorry, I'm still alive. But the story was that he kept on picking on you.
Yeah.
So your kid, he actually called you Gumby
for some
reason. What? What were you doing, man, that he made you call
him? What wasn't I doing, man? I don't know. Like, I feel like...
Oh, shit, dude.
I don't think that I was a bad kid. I think that I just was like... Ambitious. I liked having fun.
You're very ambitious.
I don't know how to describe my character when
you
I was
like... You
walked
into his class, dude. He didn't come here.
Yeah. I don't know how... I got in trouble a lot for like... Not for like fighting or being a bad kid. I just talked too damn much. I just talked too damn much. Like I think that I just was like too much. Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like that's probably why I didn't have any luck with like girls like that. I was like, hey, like fuck off. I enjoyed my youth. I think that I look back at my youth, especially like living in Donna, and I talked to a lot of people about it. I had a lot of fun, man. Like it was a great town to grow up in. I know that we have a bad rap in like Donna, but I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed my friends. The crazy ass teachers that we had, and like, it was fun. I had a great time. I had a great childhood for sure.
My God, a lot of riffraffs back in the day, man.
It was fucking crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's like weird, right? Because like, you know, I definitely remember like, you know, you don't wear certain colors, gangs, and yeah. shit, you know what I mean? Like, you knew the rules. Like, you know, you knew the rules.
Don't wear
things,
the red
like,
and black.
Yeah, you know, But I always tell people like all the time, I was like, I was never in a gang, but everybody's gang affiliated. Everybody knew somebody that was in a gang, right? Like you have like friends that were like in gangs, and some of the funniest people, you know, like, I don't know, man. I love my town for every, for as rough as it is.
Dude, that wasn't even just in Donna. I remember being in Westlake. If you wore a red shirt on a particular day, one of the principals saw you like, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, why are you wearing that fucking red shirt?" First of all, don't say fuck. Second of all, you know, why are you wearing it? Because it was gang colors.
But you know, you had your, like I think that it was like always like this. I love the ability of like you know, you had friendships within a lot of different groups, right? And I think that to this day, like, even though, like, I've been away, like, through Facebook, right, through social media, like, right. I've stayed connected to a lot of these people. And I love seeing, like, what, like, people, I find success in family and, like, just being happy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So I love that I see people with, like, their kids or, like, when they post things that they're like, they went to like a vacation together. I love seeing shit like that. Right. I love seeing people that I grew up with just happy. Right.
So it's fun, man.
Like, I love that. I love that about my, and being here, like for like when I visit, I get super like nostalgic. I drive by like my old school, my old neighborhood. I haven't heard that yet. In the distance, you hear like cuetes and stuff.
We call them cuetes down here in the RGB.
You haven't driven
down old E3 past the old real restaurant, just let one last.
Yeah.
Wham, wham. Oh, that's Hugo.
So yeah, man. I mean, it's cool. It's always fun to be back. Yeah, I love it.
And the funny story, the way I met Hugo was the kids. Quez would bring all his little friends over, you know, and I would tell him, hey, dude, do me a favor, invite all your friends on Saturday, because I'm not gonna do anything Saturday, and bring them all over. Dude, what? We're gonna do a track meet.
Yeah, you put the track meet.
It was Jesse.
Oh, was it Jesse?
Jesse, because he knew your older brother.
Oh, okay.
My brother.
But I had known him in school.
Right.
When I saw him, I'm like, oh shit, it's Hugo.
Yeah. So we grew up I think up until that moment, we didn't know, but we lived. I mean, we were like a couple blocks away.
Yeah, just the next block. The next block over.
Yeah. So I remember like my brother and because he was kind of involved somehow with like my brother was very involved with the like cross country track and you ran cross country and track. So like that group of individuals like all got together and then we did like a, I mean, you had everything from like a semi 400 meter run.
My parents got so pissed off because I got like three water hoses and put them all together and made a freaking track in the backyard.
Yeah, dude, you had multiple events, not just like a running event.
We had the javelin, not the shot put, the shot brick.
Yeah,
that was the shit. I was
just happy.
That's not dangerous at all.
Hey, I was just happy that I was playing. That's because I was fat.
He had two events, dude. Shot put and the short jump. Hey, that was the best one.
You made me run.
I made them run. Yeah. But you know what? I kept you off the streets, damn it.
Yeah.
I kept you off the streets, and that's what it's all about. You see, now you're educated and you're cooking, and and damn it, I'm hungry. But yeah, I would do the little events, and you know what they would get, dude? If they got first base, a popsicle.
That's what
they would get. What little chubby kid does not love a popsicle? I'll tell you that. You know how hard they ran to get a popsicle, dude.
I can imagine. I can imagine it all going every last ounce of energy.
That's the correct term right there, Quentin. You know how tough it is for a big boy, little big boy, want a popsicle? Don't you want to get a popsicle? Get first place. Look at that.
Like you found things to do, man. You know what I mean? Back in the day, like you found things.
It's not like it used to be now, man.
No, I mean, I know.
And the thing is, I talk about that now because Ro and I, we chit chat in the morning before we go to work. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, he goes, "Who you got today?" I got Ro coming in. He goes, "Oh, that guy from the Cubbies." I go, yeah, the cook. He goes, "All right, cool, man." He goes, "This is the one you told me they run track." And they go, yeah. Dude, were you running a fat cam, dude? I go, no, I ran a fat cam. He goes, dude, you were the guy from Heavyweight. Wait, you were the cam guy.
Wait. Yeah.
Underrated movie, by the way.
You were Ben Stiller, dude. That's what you were doing.
That was a great movie.
Great movie. Underrated movie.
Such a great movie.
Yeah, it is a great movie, dude.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
And you are Ben Stiller in Heavyweight.
Child obesity. But no, that's not the right thing. But you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, man, and that's what I would do with these guys when they come over. And it was fun, man, because they had fun. I had fun because watching them run, dude. I'm like, check it out. I'm making these kids run. This is so awesome. But you know, the thing is about that is that it stayed imprinted in them until they got older. And they'll always remember that. And remember, we used to run track in your dad's backyard, dude.
Things like that, man. Like I think that that happens in like most communities, right? Like in our era, but like I feel like in Donna, especially, or in the Rio Grande Valley, like because I think that a lot of people have shared a lot of similar stories growing up,
right?
That you like a lot of people. Some people had stuff, and there's a lot of us that didn't have a lot,
yeah.
Right, exactly. And you made shift a lot of things, right? Like you made shift. Games, activities. I mean, I tell my wife about how my brothers and I, we used to, do you remember Cardenas, the corner store?
Yeah, dude.
So we used to, my brother used to get us nickels, and we used to hammer out nickels into size quarters, and we used to work on the arcade machines. So it's just like resiliency, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. We used to like scavenge around for like nickels. And we used to hammer them out to the size of a quarter.
The train's coming, get the pizza, go put them on the truck.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So it's different now, right?
Yeah.
If I also try to explain that story to people that I work with, like in New York or in DC, and try to explain like the valley to them, it's a hard place to like describe to people, right? Like, because, you know, it's almost kind of like this kinship. When you meet someone that's from the valley, you're like, you know certain lingo, certain phrases, things.
Yeah.
So it's, I think for me, when I try to relate to people or tell people like my upbringing, it's very different from a lot of regions in America, right? Like the Rio Grande Valley is very its own, right? And I think that as I've gotten older, I appreciate it more and more and more and more of like, Valleyism. So I was like, yeah, right. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, God of the Nas, dude.
God, that's old school.
That's old school.
They had Dairy Queen right there on the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heck yeah, dude.
I'm going to bring something up real quick here. Yep. There is a actual video, and I'll play for you guys so you can hear this. You, as soon as you hear, you know what I'm talking about.
Last week, six talented creators showed off their skills in our first ever Culinary Creators Cooking Showdown.
This was interesting because I was looking at this. Our
fantastic contestants had 30 minutes to whip up a dish using the right ingredients and get their products.
Shout out to them, they're a really cool brand. Their family is originally from Laredo, but now they're in Austin, and they created like healthy, gluten-free like snacks that we all grew up with, especially now in this era of like not everybody can have like gluten or people with celiac and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So they invited me and like six other like social media creators. And they asked us to submit a recipe. Mind you, like we just talked about it. I cook carb heavy, meat heavy.
Yeah.
Like I don't do like dairy allergy thing cooking, right? And their whole thing is like try to cook gluten-free, dairy-free, all this stuff. So the parameters were you have to come up with a recipe with only seven ingredients under 30 minutes and has to try to be gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan. Yeah. So, I went in and I recreated, you guys know what molletes are, right? Essentially like a bolillo bread with beans and cheese in its basic form.
Right.
So I took gluten-free bread. I took the crust off. I processed that with a bag of their chips and their seasoning, some of their beans, dairy-free cheese, deep fried it, seared it. Some of their salsa, and then I made like a fancy gluten-free mollete, and I happened to win.
I know, dude. Congratulations on that.
Congratulations on that.
So it was cool, man.
Was this televised, or was this only through the YouTube channel?
Yeah,
or?
They put it out through their socials. The and quality like,
looks. I like the quality. The video quality.
Shout out to their art director or their production director.
Right.
His name is Aaron. Super cool guy, down to earth, very unassuming. Like I didn't know this about him, but he's like an Emmy Award winning like videographer, producer.
It looks like it.
I honestly thought it was a show. I'm like, holy shit, fucking one.
It's cool, man. Like I've been asked to be on certain shows before, and I've. I take cooking seriously, right? So I never like, and if you see my content, you know that I don't like being niche. I don't like being some guy on social media that to get clicks or to just be goofy and things like that. So I've had a couple of shows like that have reached out and it just hasn't like been the right fit, right?
Okay.
Like, what was that one? The Gordon Ramsay one where like food goes up in a, like a, not Master Chef.
Which one? The Iron Chef?
No. So I don't know which one it is, but it's basically like you have to sabotage each other. And I was like,
That ain't gonna work.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not. That's not my.
You would have won, dude.
Put your finger in it.
Wait, what
are you doing? You don't understand where I'm from.
So yeah,
you got a finger.
All right, I quit. I'm out. I'm out. I'm staying true to kind of like a vision of what I'm trying to do. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's good, man. So you winning the whole thing. I know you got recognition for it. And the thing is that it's crazy because Quetz goes, dude, I go, we're going to have Ugo back in the show, right? He goes, yeah, when he comes down. Yeah, he's coming down. You know he won some sort of cooking contest.
Oh, like,
I go, what do you mean?
How do you do
it? Like, I go, what are you talking about? I go, dude, check it out. I saw, holy shit. Like, representing RGB, not only that, Donna, Texas, bro.
Yeah.
I told you to spray paint on the side of a gas station.
I should have, dude. I should have put some. I'm going to put a pinche Ugo down in Texas.
Donna, Texas.
Yeah, man. I for a long time, so I used to always keep Donna incognito, right? Like, because it's like I don't want No, now I'm ashamed of that. Sometimes dude, people on social media would like try to deep dive and try to find So I just say like a small border town in South Texas.
I'm from Sheridan.
But I always like when I given the opportunity, like I tell people, like, yeah, I'm from Donna, Texas. Like, yeah, for sure. Like but yeah, most people don't know where it's from.
Do
but
they step back and like, oh.
If they're from the valley, no. If they're from the valley, yes. Right? Yeah. People from the valley. Yeah, if you're from the valley, you're like, oh.
Oh, you're from the valley. Yeah. Oh, man, where you from? Oh, I'm from McCown. Where you from? I'm from Mercedes. Where you from? Die. What?
I grew up. Yeah, we always grew up with that, like, oh. And, but it's funny now, like, I could say it, and, like, everywhere I've ever been, like, people are like, it's like in between South Padre Island and McAllen, Texas. And then they're
whatever
like,
works.
South to San Antonio. They're like, oh, okay.
I have mentioned that South Texas, I mean, there's a couple of people that have emailed, you know, try to get guests on the show. And I say, they ask me, where are you from? I go, South Texas. Oh, you're from the Corpus Christi area? No, deep South Texas. No.
Keep going.
How far down? Way down.
On the border. Like, I'd just be like,
are you guys from Mexico?
Arshuelville is literally the Rio Grande. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but you just got to educate people on that. Yeah. But yeah, it's good.
That's cool, man. I mean, putting not only the RGB on the map, but putting that little town on the map is, I'm pretty sure it's a pride.
Can you not say it like that?
There's a lot of famous people that come out of Texas.
They go, that guy Cole Smith from he comes out in the Power Rangers Dino Force, dude. That's true.
That's true.
I'm proud of it, man. I'm proud of Donna. Like I think that, you know.
Norm Evans.
Yeah. You know what, man? I think for so long we've hung our hat on just like sports. And yes. I think that there's so much talent like in the arts that comes out of Donna.
Yes.
Like I think that you know, the music, there's a lot of people that are great musicians that are doing great things that become teachers and things like that.
Right.
But the fact that now they have a culinary arts program, I think that's like awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, I think I've told you guys this story where like growing up, I mean, in the 90s, early 2000s, like there wasn't a lot of resources for us, right?
There wasn't
a lot of resources, but like, I think people managed and people had grit. And I think that that's what I love about our town, man. Like we are a resilient, gritty ass community. You know, I definitely wish, like, I've seen other towns around us grow, and I wish Donna would grow more. I wish there was a lot more commerce in it.
Right.
But, you know, like, that's just someone from the outside in looking, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what happens here, so I can't, like, speak on it. So,
Donna's staying kind of small because everything else around it is kind of growing.
Yeah.
It's growing in and out. So, yeah. You know, but it'll get there, man. It's like you said, there's so much talent that we've had on the show and that we've come across too that it'll get there. It'll get its recognition.
We got a Walmart.
Oh yeah.
We got a Walmart.
We got a Dutch Bros.
Dutch Bros.
No, man, I think that there's like a lot of talent here. And that's just like valley wide. I think that there's a lot of talent, right?
Absolutely.
I think for so long the mindset was the only way you can be successful is if you leave. And I don't believe that that's the case. Right. I think that you can, there's a lot of community. I think the last time I was here, I told you guys this, that I see a lot of communities in America doing this. And I think the Valley's doing this now where they're trying to bring their talent back. Right.
Yeah,
like
I saw
Mission really doing that in like their downtown area where they're trying to like give like tax breaks or rent breaks on people that have left and come back.
Right.
So I think that, I think that there's like a lot of people that are like, hey, man, like South Texas is pretty nice. Right. Like, I think it's growing. I see it growing every single time that I'm here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Quick. Do you by any chance? I mean, this is a shot in the dark. I know you're living in Arizona now.
Yeah.
would there any be a chance of you coming back home base and making a
that's what I was going to ask him.
Restaurant or I mean, I don't want to play out the whole food truck thing because there's so many of them now.
Yeah,
it's well, like the game looked like New York. There's a food truck every corner. And the food truck parks. They're all great.
A couple of years, you they're already know where the Redskins stadium's at.
Yeah.
Right next to it, there's going to be a big like a food trucks.
Oh, yeah. Really? Good. Yeah, yeah.
So that's gonna be awesome.
That's gonna be awesome.
Right after the games, everybody just walked over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's money right
exactly.
there.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, is that ever came up in your mind, or has ever crossed your mind about coming home and finally settling roots here, or do you plan to just live out your days out of South Texas?
So, great question. But I think that's like a there's so many elements to that, right? Like, I think now, like, one, I have kids, right? Yeah, and right. Like the school system that my kids are in right now, love it, right? Like, not it's to awesome. Say, like, there's a lot of great school systems here, but like, particularly like the one he's in right now, like, I love it. I love like the neighborhood that I'm in. Like, I love where I'm living. I know for sure I won't ever open a restaurant. I know that, yeah. Yeah, I know the commitment. I know the commitment that it takes to open a restaurant. I know. That's why I'm open to pop ups. I'm open to doing things like that.
Right.
It's just, man, it's like you're living and you're dying every single day in the space, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. I'm not opposed to moving back to the Valley. But that's never like, oh no, I would never move back to Valley. Like, it would have to be like a situation, right, where there was like a great opportunity. Like, one of the reasons I never lived in the Valley after I left was because most of my career, like, I wanted to work in Michelin star restaurants, and that was in New York, DC, Chicago. Then I worked in the fashion industry, and I worked with Tom Ford, and I wanted to design, and so that was like very much like in New York, Chicago. Right. So it wasn't that I never wanted to move back. It's just like my career never brought me back. Right. Like,
I got you.
Now, like, I have a little bit more flexibility of like where I can live. Mm-hmm. Economics plays into it. Right. Like,
exactly.
More land down here. It's like more affordable than anywhere I've ever lived.
Yeah.
Right. But there's, there's a lot at play. Right. Like, there's what does my wife think? And, she likes the area as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a long-winded answer for something that I don't know.
Yeah, right? All I'm hearing is hell no.
No.
It's just not the end game.
Yeah, no, it's not the. It's like the I don't know game, right? Like, it's really I don't know.
If I'd be in a good place like that, I would have come back. I'm just saying. No, I still love my city, but I'm in a better place.
Well, he's saying it like there's a lot of factors. He's not going to move back just because.
Right.
But,
I'll give you a scenario, right? Like, let's say somebody's like, hey, man, we want to fund you. We want to back you. We want you to open up a restaurant, and we want you to like be here, come back. And we want you to like be a representation.
The dream. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's play that out. Right. Like, and this goes back to like the original thing that you said of like the critic of like what people are used to eating here. Right, and I'm going to open up a restaurant that I want to open my way. I don't want it to be just straight like Mexican food. I want to cater to like my cuisine.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm now uprooting my whole family for saying like, hey, we're going to come here for like this opportunity that somebody's going to fund. And let's say that the restaurant, 90% of restaurants close within the year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Sometimes. Like, I move down. It doesn't do well. Like, it doesn't get the
recognition,
that I would want it to get, or and financially we're bleeding, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're here and I don't work in the restaurant industry, I don't have like a career, so now what? Right now I'm leaving again, like that's kind of like, these are the kind of things that play into my head of
you're absolutely right. It's very hit or miss kind of thing to just say, oh, well, I'm going to open up a restaurant,
Yeah, and the food, like, for me, like, in the restaurant, especially, like, in the restaurant space,
yeah,
I'm a very casual guy outside of, like, in general. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to hospitality, right? Sure. Like, I'm a perfectionist of, like, how a guest is greeted as they come in, how the table is set, how a server works the room, how a manager works the room, how fast tickets are coming out, how clean plates are being wiped on the way. Like, I am like hyper vigilant when it comes to hospitality, that I would be in, like, not in, I'm not insane. Like,
the
let's just, pretty much the
Gordon Ramsay of the
No, I grew up in this like industry of hospitality where like perfection is not feasible, but striving for perfect for perfection every single day is right. So every day I would, if I was to open up a restaurant here, it would, my mindset would be, I want a Michelin star. Yeah. I want a James Beard Award. I want to be, I want to make sure that this space is recognized nationally and not just regionally.
Right.
Absolutely. So for that, it's not just the food.
It's a production crew ready.
Yeah, it's everything. It's like back of the house. It's how well every plate glass is polished. It's how well the server knows the menu and how well they know wine, how well they know beverage. It's so much more than just food, right? And I become super like hyper vigilant of that. That's what's made me successful, right? Like when I, as a chef, and when I worked for the Chicago Cubs, we got James Beard Award, like recognized at Chicago for like the restaurant spaces. And that just comes from every place that I've ever worked. They've instilled that in me. They've instilled that like level of like hyper focus on the service, how we treat the guests, how they come in, and yeah, man, it'd be rough. It'd be really, really rough.
I was thinking that to myself, because you have been exposed to like Michelin star services and restaurants, and like you said, it's perfection. Is it may not be attainable, but you can work towards
you're,
it.
You're seeking it every single day.
Seeking it every day.
And let me be very like clear about that, man. Like going to a place like Teddy's, or going to a place like Annalise Taqueria, they're doing that. They don't. You don't need to be a Michelin star. They're doing it. They're doing it with the. And that's what I think that I love about what I'm seeing in the food scene here, is that people are like hyper focused on the ingredients. They're hyper focused on the products that they're pumping out, and it's not just like. Like, oh, I'm just putting out food, and let me see, like, if it gets blown up on Instagram. No, people care about what they're doing, man. And I love that. I really love that about it.
It's their art.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, people are putting in a lot of passion. And I think that that's why, you know, like when we talk about like food critics or Yelpers, it's like a lot of times I look at the human piece of it. Like there's somebody in that kitchen that's been working 15 hours a day for 6 days a week to conceptualize a dish, to put it out, for a server to come out, and then for that one person to come in on a bad day, like annoyed about whatever's happening on their personal life, and then just shitting a review on that restaurant that's working really hard.
Exactly.
Right.
That's pretty exactly.
That's where I have the problem with it. Because it's like, this industry's fucking hard, man. Like, it's so hard. I left it for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I was passionate about it, but it you know, that's why I respect people that are still doing it, that are still grinding it.
Yeah.
That for me, that about, that's why when you say, would you open up a restaurant, that level of like hyper focus, hyper attention, hyper dedication, where I'm okay leaving my wife and my two kids at home for 16 hours a day, I don't know if I have that in me.
Wow. No. Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because once I'm in there, like, I'm not thinking of my wife, I'm not thinking of my two kids, I'm thinking of service. Yeah. I'm thinking of like how well food is coming out. Like, I'm tasting everything. I'm making sure that wine pairings are on point.
Extreme to focus, pretty
much. Yeah. Because I do care about the hospitality like experience. I do care that the guest is coming in and they're going to experience something that they've never experienced before. Not just with the food, but with the service.
Right.
Because those two go hand in hand, right? Like, how many times you go to a restaurant, the food's awesome, the service sucks, and you're just like, I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
Right. And vice versa, right? Service is good, but the food was like, fine, it's all right, man. Like, to really hit the fucking mark, everything needs to be in sync every single night.
Exactly. Well put, man.
Because you are right. All those details, they do matter in the overall experience.
Yeah, and for me, it's hard for me to take that off, that switch. I walk in a restaurant, and I'm in the restaurant and I'm looking like, is there a wet rag hanging out? Is the server hanging on the table? Does the server know like what they're talking about? And I don't judge them. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't, I give, like, I'm open to it because I also put things into context. I'm not going to go in a pinche taqueria and be like, oh, este vato's not doing this, 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 this.
Right? Get on that, bro.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I go into every scenario being like, man, I'm almost like to the point where like I give the server grace if I see it. I was like, nah, I tell my wife, man, they're busy right now. And this guy's like behind, like, let's make his life easy today. Like, let's not be difficult, right? Like I read the room when I go to a restaurant kind of thing.
The lobster.
Yeah. You know, so it's one of those kind of things where like if I see someone trying and caring and they're like falling behind, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, don't worry about us. We're good.
Right.
But if I see you blatantly not give a fuck about service,
right,
I have a real fucking problem with that. I have a real fucking problem
with this. Does this interview turn into an interview for us to join a restaurant right now, buddy?
No, not for me. No way.
It's just different, man. Like I just like I like obviously
you
like,
demand perfection.
Well,
is that what you're looking pretty much in
terms of like if it's my team,
exactly.
Just basically do your job.
Yeah. No. Okay. Because you're gonna make me sound like a fucking like crazy man right now. Like no. I always put it like this, right? Like I always tell people, nobody put a gun in my head to sign up for this job.
Right.
Right. So if I'm gonna, I always tell people that my mom raised me on one single thing, right? Like you work hard because your name's attached to it. Right.
Okay.
So I've taken that everywhere I've gone, in the kitchen, right, front of the house, back of the house. If I'm doing a job, my name, my family is represented in what I'm doing, right? So exactly. I take pride in what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Put me in the dish pit, I don't give a shit. Like when I worked for the Cubs, I was in a three-piece suit in the front working like the room, and the dish pit went down and my ass was in the back with a dishwasher cleaning plates a mano, right?
More
I
don't give a shit. Exactly.
Because I don't want service to drop. I think that's what I'm talking about. Like
where
everybody is like hands on deck. That's my level.
And
of
that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
I don't believe in like, that's not my job.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly
in the restaurant space, like I want that. You know, I used to work with this guy named Tim Beezer in DC, and the guy was polished. The guy was on it. And we both were so synced together of like what service should be. Mm-hmm. And we were so like passionate about it, like that it was hard to like, we had to bring ourselves down of like expectations sometimes, because it's like, dude, we're so in it and we're so about it that we can't expect everybody, like we can't expect a part-time server that's trying to go into nursing to be passionate about hospitality like I am, right? So there's sometimes where I definitely had to like tone it down.
You sound very empathetic, and that can be helpful, you know.
I think that my wife being a therapist has helped me. My wife has definitely helped me in the industry of like, you have to be, to the point you said, empathetic, and you really got to see it from somebody else's view, right? Like, if they're not doing it, did I like not explain my, because it might not be them all the time. It might be me sometimes.
Right.
Know what I mean? Like leadership is understanding that us four here think differently.
Right.
So, right. That's what I always tell people, that for me, hospitality is not somebody, you walking in a restaurant and somebody being overly like nice to you. Hospitality is, let's say you guys walk into the restaurant, right? You guys are walking in, you're three different guys. My job is to figure out what your guys' needs is, or what your style of dining is, and me adjusting to you individually.
I gotcha.
Right? You might be a guy that wants to be talked to a lot. You might be a guy that says, fuck off, don't talk to me. You might be a guy that's like, I just want to be here and I need someone to talk to. I am lonely, whatever. And my, no, I didn't mean it like that. But like,
you hit it right on the nose.
You got us.
You know how to read the room.
Good job, buddy.
No, like my job, I always tell people, man, like my job is to meet someone for the first time and understand what their needs are within like 10 seconds.
Right.
And
as it should be.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's what's hospitality, man.
Exactly.
So like when we talk about it, I'm somebody that's like, you gotta be about it, right?
Right.
Like, you gotta, and that's why for me, like, I don't know if that style of service would work here. I don't know if people would want that. I don't know.
You could put it out there and people would probably take it, but I mean, from all the service I received, it's pretty much just like, make yourself at home, you know. Yeah. We're sorry we're busy, but we'll get to you.
Exactly. That's the way it is. Yeah.
It's just the way we've accepted that it is. And I don't know if anyone, I've never seen anyone get that upset that, you know, it's a little slow. Maybe when they're hungry.
You'd be surprised.
I think there's like a rule of thumb of a reservation. I don't know. Do you guys go to a lot of places with like reservations, or you just like pop in?
Just pop in.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So like a lot of times I always try to tell people, like, if you're popping in, understand what time you're popping in, what time of night. Right?
Exactly.
If you have a reservation, let's say your reservation's at 7. I want to put this out to everybody that makes a reservation. You're not going to get sat at 7. Like the rule of thumb, when you go to a restaurant, it's around 7,
mm-hmm.
but you're also working with like scenarios of tables that have been, they're trying to move to get you sat around 7. So have a little grace if you go to a restaurant and you don't get sat at 7. Like, go to the bar, have a drink, or understand with the mindset that you might not, it might not happen, right? Yeah, like, I think that we just have to have a little bit of grace when we go out to eat. You got to give people are busting their ass, man. Like, serving, busing, cooking, it's hard. Right. Yeah, like,
it's a lot of work.
You know what I mean? Like, we're asking these people to be jovial and nice when they walked in the door and they might have gotten evicted from their apartment, or they can't make, they're really hoping that they can make rent tonight, or like they had a death in the family and then they like shut it off and they're like, hi, how are you? Right. Yeah. So it's like, I think that there needs to be a little bit more empathy within the hospitality industry for sure.
Yeah, no, I said earlier about I've never seen anyone get that upset because things are slow. Let me clarify that a little bit. I guess I was saying I have never gotten that upset. Because, you know, I get it. I do notice when people are like trying to do a good job for you.
Yeah.
You know, for me. And I get it. You know, I decided to come at 7 o'clock, you know, and I see that all the tables are full and, you know, people, when people are having a good time, they don't want to leave their table right away. So, you know, I try to be understanding.
The other side of that coin, though, man, is like, you're also valid in being like, fuck, I'm a little annoyed that my table, right? Like, if you have like a maitre d', a GM, a server that comes up and is not meeting you with empathy either, like, hey, dude, we're fucking busy, like, deal with it. That's a fucking problem, right? Like, that's a problem. Like, I think that both parties needs to meet, like, in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't dine out often a lot here. Like, if I do eat, like, I'm going to a taqueria, I'm going to, like, a burger joint, I'm going to, like, excuse me, like, I'm getting barbecue, like.
Right.
So I can't really speak to the Valley dining scene that well, because when my wife and I, we come down, we don't necessarily go to, like, a lot of sit down restaurants where you're having a service. So I can't even tell you what it's like here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. It's obviously like, this is a topic where I'm like, really.
That's why we asked the question.
That's why I say like, there's the family factor of it, but then there's like the hyper perfectionist hospitality individual in me.
Because like I could see, like, if you were just, you know, a guy in the world, you know, if it's your anniversary or your wife's birthday, or, you know, but you also got your kids with you, you know, you're gonna, you know, you made the reservation for 7 o'clock, you're gonna be you know, annoyed. Look, I got kids, you know, my wife is hungry, you don't want to see her when she's hungry. You know, we need to sit down.
WC put fucking Freddy's took 3 hours to make an ice cream. I was there.
Oh my god!
You should have gone to Buzzbowl Creamery.
Buzzbowl Creamery. You should have gone down the street, man. You should have one of those, bro. Yeah, one of our sponsors, man. Yeah.
But I guess you could say it's food for thought. I mean,
literally food for thought.
Yeah, man. But you said you would come down one night, one day, and just
Like if there was an opportunity, man, that if somebody would host me, like in terms of like a restaurant, would be like, hey, we would love to do a dinner series with you, using our space, and we could sell like tickets for this like dinner. I would love to do it. I would love to like cook. But you know, like with that being said, I would be very particular of like how we serve it, like how you know what I mean? Like it's like I want to make sure that if we're gonna, if I'm giving people a taste of like my food or my experience, I want them to have a good time. I want them to experience like the whole thing, right? Like so,
yeah,
man. I would love to do it down here. Like I think that would be a great opportunity.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, shout out to my friend Patrick that's always like trying to like make these kind of connections when I come down here. I'm always just down here for such a short period of time that it's sometimes like really hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I would love that. I would love to showcase like.
That would be dope, man. That'd be all badass.
We can't guarantee anything, but I mean, we can put it out there into the world, and maybe someone is listening.
Something might pop up. You never know.
Yeah, because I mean, we from all the people that we've met in the show, we realize that the Valley is a pretty small place. People know people, or people make connections.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just really grows from there.
Exactly, man.
You know, hopefully, if anyone's listening out there right now or watches the podcast, you know, if they pass the word around.
Yeah, I think it would be fun, man. Like, I think it would be a fun time to do that. Like, I did it. Like, there was a potential for like a pop up restaurant that I was going to do in San Francisco in May.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar, right? Like, because this is like dinner series happen all the time, like this, where like, let's say I own a restaurant in Chicago and I have a really good friend that works out of New York or whatever, and I'm like, hey man, I want you to come over here and put a menu together. We're gonna sell tickets, and your menu, my team will put it to help put it together. And you know, and it's cool because it's exposure for like the chef, and it's also exposure for like the restaurant,
for the business. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. So it's like both kind of things.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's just good to do these kind of events, man. Like I think they're fun. I would never put that off the table.
That's not a bad idea to have that on the run.
That's not a bad idea.
We are an hour and 19 minutes into the podcast. Oh, shit. Conversation is great, man. I know.
Oh, shit. It's about to go down, dude. It's about to go down.
Well, I mean, before we sign off, we want to get all the social media from Google here. Where can we follow you and what's upcoming?
Yeah, so Ugo_Gamino is like my handle. Ugo's Cookbook to Life. Right now, basically, like just writing and cooking, right? Like I've obviously been like trying to get published for a while, but nothing like big in, I would say, like in the near future that's like happening. I got like collaboration and partnership stuff that I'm doing, but nothing where it would be like I'm going to be at a restaurant. And you know, I think the only one that's like I'm in the works and doing is like that San Francisco restaurant. That's going to be out in the beginning of May. But outside of that, man, yeah, just hustling, working.
There you go, dude. That's what it's all about, man.
Ooh, I want to say thank you for
coming out.
No, podcast.
Social media number twice.
Ugo_Gamino. @Ugo_Gamino.
Don't forget to look him up on TikTok where all his stories are.
Yeah, great stories too, man.
Check out all the stories while he's making the food. Gotta eat the food because it has meaning.
Exactly, dude.
No, thank you guys. I'll say this before we sign off.
Go ahead, man.
I've done a couple podcasts like after you guys. You guys were like probably like the first one I ever did.
Yes,
I know. I remember like my wife gave me good advice like when I was like going to another one. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to say. She's like, just do it like you were doing it with your friends from the Valley, like that you're talking to them and just like hanging out with them. So,
yeah.
So shout out to you guys, man, that every time like I've been on like a speaking engagement or something like that, I've always kind of brought myself in this mindset of like I'm talking to the guys.
Yeah, man. Well, next time you come down, I'm demanding food this time, dude. Yeah. I know every time you come down, you say mama owns the kitchen.
Yeah, I don't mess with mom's kitchen.
We're gonna have to bring your kitchen next time ever.
Well, there you go. Maybe we'll do that pop up.
Remember, he asked for balls earlier.
The gizzard or whatever. Those are goat balls. That's what he wants over there. Shit. Anyways, guys, Gambito, thank you very much for coming out. I appreciate
you. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully, we'll be a third part three.
Yeah.
Next time you come down again, so we can see what else you've done, because this guy has a long journey in front of him.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast for this week. Next week, guys, it's going to be a doozy, man. We, on Thursday at 7:30, we have, hold on, man, I have my phone here. It locked up on me. Hold on. We have Lauren Mary Kim on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
She is a stuntman. Stuntman. You know what? A stunt double. All right.
It's a stunt double.
Yes. She's done Mortal Kombat video games. She has come on The Mandalorian. She's come on so many, even with the Defenders for Netflix on Marvel.
Nice.
So awesome. Many different movies and shows she's been on. So it's going to be very interesting. Make sure you tune in next week at 7:30. Hopefully this thing's not here with me because you probably scare her off. But it's going to be a great episode. But this week, we have OK Robot as our video.
As our closing music.
For the week.
All right. Hopefully they don't sue.
Yeah, hopefully, man.
Please don't sue. We don't have money.
Yeah, you can see quiz. But other than that, guys, I just want to say thank you to each one of you guys for coming on the podcast.
Ben. Thank you.
Any last words, Chief?
Puro Pichadona, Texas.
Texas, man. Keep representing the valley, man. We appreciate everything you do for us, Uber, man.
Thank you guys.
Keep representing. Like always, guys, I mean, we always end the podcast just like this.
Yep.
You ready?
With friends.
Three, two, one. Ladies, Gators! Peace out.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.